Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to awaken to the truth of your soul? Welcome to today's episode of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show with your host, Nadia Khalil.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to today's show. Today is Monday. It's May 22nd already. Believe it. We're like... It's unbelievable, but the time just keeps on going by, which I love, and the chat's already lit up, and there was Jules on there said, since the topic is love, can I ask about a new relationship coming into my life? Yes, you can ask. I'm going to do a show about how love thrives, so go ahead and ask while we're right in the middle of it, but today's show, there's something, it's not that we overlook it, but oh my God, it's something that once you know it, you cannot not know it. And this weekend I had, since the summit, because it was going on during it, it's like something changed. Something got activated around me, around us at the summit, and it's like still with us. With me, I know for sure, with everyone at the church for sure, with the ones who are still writing me or telling me, or just when I see their names, I could feel it. And I keep thinking, what's different? Like, what changed in this time? And I realized that we are thriving. Every one of us, even the ones who went with different intentions just to, you know, well, what is this summit feeling? Or oh, I need something. Or I just don't know what I need, but I want to go and see. And whatever feelings anyone had going in, the one thing I know for sure, however much we could accept love, whoever it was, whoever this human being is who received this, no matter how much they could accept, they left with more love or a greater understanding of themselves, their own self-love, than when we walked in. Me included, Christina included, Dr. Mihoko included, everybody included. It was like permeating. And we thrived in that time, and it's still happening. But why do we thrive in love? Why don't we thrive when we have a ton of money? Why don't we thrive when we think we got the person we wanted or the job we wanted? We do in the beginning, but after a while, things become familiar to us and we say, oh, yeah, I felt that way in the beginning. But we can feel that way all the time. So my question to Christ, to God, was when we are in a relationship, we all know how we're going to thrive. It's like we've all been shown movie after movie, picture after picture, how to be. But then when we see it in real life, it's different. It's quieter. It doesn't need such a big grandstand of a forum. It doesn't need the stuff we were told it needs. So I was really thinking about, okay, then what do we do? What does life look like when we are thriving in love? What is it about the feelings of love? Because we know how powerful it is. And Christ said we won't learn anything new. We'll learn what we know in greater depth. So however deep love is going to teach us, we don't know until it teaches us. So I started getting curious about who leads who with love. Are we leading love or is love leading us? At times we don't know that we don't want love. Like we're just like, oh, I just want to be quiet. I don't want to deal with it. And it strikes us. We're like, wow, I came out in my sweats and I just wanted to run out to get something. And all this stuff happened. And my heart is racing and I feel great. And I didn't expect it because I didn't do all this stuff. And nothing was in place for this to have happened to me. I just ran to the grocery store to get a gallon of milk or something like that. Sometimes there's people we want to love and we just don't know why we don't feel anything towards them. And there's other people that we want to love and don't want to love, and we love them. And we have to figure out how to incorporate them into our life, into our mind, into our world. It's amazing because love does dictate its presence to us. And love's power is so far ahead of us, and it leads us without any questions. The lessons are thrown at us, the challenges are thrown at us, the teachings, the understandings. That all comes after the stuff we didn't expect to happen happens. But how is it that love carries our souls? And why do we even have such intense feelings towards each other through love? So Christ, really, this morning, and like, I want to say, as long as it took me to write this, we have a top 10. I can't believe it. I haven't had a top 10 for a long time. But the first thing Christ said about us thriving in love is to look at love as an energy and not an expectation. Look at love as an energy and not an expectation. We have been taught from the beginning that love is an expectation, and we've carried that into relationships, friendships, work, everywhere we go. If this has been injured or not taught in the way that it needed to be taught, we felt that if we weren't good, we didn't even deserve love. But to look at love as an energy, not an expectation. I see Liam wrote in the chat, when love leaves, it's because we aren't leading, because we aren't completely understanding what love is. But when we see through the misconceptions, we feel timeless in the fact that we and love are one in experience, that we are love. That's true. That's exactly true. That's exactly what he's saying. Look at it as an energy. And what you wrote, Liam, it'll come up a little bit. There's another one that it will touch on. But look at love as an energy, not an expectation. Love owes us nothing. Love is our teacher. So how could we know everything about what's teaching us? Everyone wants to lock in love through a relationship, through a marriage. But we can't lock in or lock up love. That's the opposite. And I know we know that, but we still do it. He did this to me. She did that to me. Why did you let it? Was your love injured enough for you to have done that? The second thing he said, love does not listen to us. It does lead us. We can't tell love what to do. We can't ask it what to do. We can't demand from it, let alone expect from it. We can't tell it what we need from it and what we want from other people from it. It always causes a problem. When we start putting demands on love, that's where every problem starts. Think about it. The minute you start walking around saying, oh, he doesn't love me, she doesn't love me, I don't love this, I don't love that, I didn't get what I wanted, we start getting mad, we start getting upset, we start creating stories, we start complaining. Because now we're mad. Love didn't deliver, didn't give us what we want. God doesn't love us because we didn't get what we wanted. And we found a way truly to commingle the whole thing. The other thing that Christ said, and this is the third one, that love provokes us, it challenges us, it pushes and pulls us, and it takes our souls through our mission. It takes our soul to what we needed from our own lives. what we came here to do, because love will motivate us. The thought of love will motivate us to do what we came here to do. There was something Christ said a while ago, and it's not in these top 10, but he said, pure attraction changes all the circumstances around it. It's that powerful when the attraction is pure, whether it's to writing a song, writing a book, meeting somebody, and you can't help that you love them, and they may be, on the wrong side of the tracks, the wrong color, the wrong religion, the wrong whatever, and you always wonder, why couldn't I just love someone like everyone else did that, is part of my whatever? But that's too easy. You came here to do something else. Number 4, and I love this one, and this one goes in with what Liam says about we are love. Christ said, the greatest ingredient of life is love. Our greatest ingredient of our soul is love. The greatest ingredient of the cells of our bodies is love. Love is everything. It's an energy, it's a body, it's a soul. We cannot escape that energy. Christ is love. And look at how endless, and look at the depth of the love that we have. And it's not a religious love, it's just love. When we share love with another person, other people on the outside may not get that relationship. What brought those two together? How does that person, who looks kind of grungy, really love this job? And we start seeing like these little dichotomies, all around our lives. But they know what that is, because there is obviously enough love, enough interaction to cause it to thrive, enough going back and forth for it to be present. And when it is present, so will you be. And when it's not present, so will you not be. When we are in a new relationship, like Jules is writing, she's in a new love relationship, treat it as an energy, Jules. Contribute to the energy. Don't expect from it. Just follow it. Let it lead you. If you feel like saying I love you, say it. If you feel like you want to do something, put it out there. Be part of the relationship. Now, some things it might be out of place, too soon, too whatever, but let the relationship lead you to where you feel that comfort, that closeness, that warmth, to start sharing more of yourself. It's not all done in a day. It's the time that brings these things out. Let the time tell you what to do. You'll know. If something feels off, like, that's too soon for me to say that, wait on yourself, because that way you get to develop the feeling instead of just blurt it out. We've all earned the right to understand that any relationship we have is going to have a beginning, because we're not going to know anything about it yet. That's all beginning means. That's when we learn about it. That's when we're paying most attention to it, because it's so brand new that the learning curve is really high. So when you understand that, instead of, wow, we're not spending as much time together as we did when we met. Well, when you met, the learning curve was really high. That's the reality. Does it mean anything is bad now that you both, are so comfortable and so great with each other that now you can do the things you want to do as well as enjoy this person and have this person in your life? It's just part of the growth, part of the thriving, part of the relationship. And the love gets more intense as you get to do other interests that may not be the other person's interest while you're with that person. Because now you've given each other the space to not only love each other, but to share that love with each other, to be able to have a thriving relationship between the two of you. So Liam writes in the chat, I think understanding love is like the structure and feeling love is the experience. But we shouldn't see a structure as empty because its function is to make room for the felt love. I suppose that structure is truth. Well, it's always going to be truth, love, and purity. Without truth, you can't have love. Without love, you can't have truth. And without truth and love, you can't have purity. It's those three things. Every single thing I have written, every single thing Christ talks about goes back to truth and love and purity. Christ does not say to me, ever, you need to believe in God this way and this way only. You need to eat, dress, drink, not dance, dance, eat pork, not eat pork. He never ever said any of that to me. Never till this day, 15 years. And I never heard a rule. Not one rule. And you know, I never even thought of that till I just said it right now. It's amazing. He never gave me a rule. And that's why the love between all of us has been able to grow. And everywhere I go, I don't care if it's I teach the kids on Sundays or I'm walking or I'm at a grocery store or I'm at the gym or I'm at work. There was never any rules. Even the summit, we didn't say you can't get up and go to the bathroom, you can't do this, you can't do that. There wasn't a rule in the house. Yet everybody lived in order. Nobody was out of place because of it. Nobody needed them, nobody not needed them. It just wasn't even part of the fabric. Because love is so powerful that it's respectful. It doesn't bulldoze people to get what they want, whatever it is they want, whatever it is they think they need. Because love doesn't need anything. Love just moves things to growth. And so five is there is no escaping love. Because if we are it, it's our soul, it's our body, then how do we escape it? And he also said, number six, there is no pushing it off. Okay, so now we can't escape it. Now we can't push it away from us. He said, the best you can do if you try to get away from love is to ignore it. And that's what the ego is trying to get you to do. And that's when you will feel sadness, loneliness, and despair. When you ignore the fact that love is part of the equation of your life or of a situation that you're not happy about right now, if you are doing that, that's when you feel sad, lonely, and depressed, despair. That's right, where ego tries to take us when we ignore love. Because when we ignore love, if Christ just said it's our basically mind, body, and soul, then we're ignoring our mind, body, and soul, so of course we're going to feel depressed. It's not that far of a stretch. But it just makes so much sense when we get it this way. And I believe and I know that we are ready to hear it this way. We're ready to say, oh, you know what? I'm feeling depressed. I'm feeling lonely. I'm feeling sad. Oh my God, I'm ignoring love. No wonder. And when you say that, it makes the sadness and the loneliness and the despair dissipate. it almost like it blows into thin air, because now that doesn't have power, and sadness and loneliness and despair and depression, that takes more of our energy than love ever could in terms of bringing us down. Because when we feel love, even if nothing is going on that day, all we're doing is working all day long. We don't get up, we're not running around, we're not really interacting with others. But when we feel loved or love in our heart, we're light. There's a lightness to us. Not light like the bright light, but in weight. We are light weighted. So he said, but let's talk about thriving in love. What is that? If we see it as an energy, energies grow. And then we find out there's more kinds of energy and more energy, but we ignore that love is an energy. It is a fuel. It changes the way our brain functions. It changes the way our body functions, the way our organs function. It changes how we eat. It is the ultimate strength of any lifetime, of any time in our history. And the lack of it is behind every issue that we have had in our history. When there is a lack of love behind laws and rules and company policies and how they treat people, all of that causes conflict. Every single part of it will cause a conflict at some point. Injured love causes a conflict in relationships. It's the first thing, and it's going to show up at some point. You may be able to hide it at first because you're so excited in the learning curve, in that beginning. But then once that settles down, you start telling the person, well, you know, I love you, but I don't eat this, I don't eat that, I don't go here, I don't go there, I don't do this. And then the other person's like, oh, wow, but you know what, I'm already invested, I love you, okay. We won't go here, we won't go there, we won't eat this, we won't like that person, we won't do this, we won't, and now you both don't like all that stuff. Because now you're both going to sink to that level of the lacks of love or understanding. Because judgment isn't love. That's why there is not a judgment day that's going to hit everybody, because why would God do that? He already knows everything you've done. We forget that. Because love already knows all that stuff, and we don't understand love yet. So how do we thrive in love? We trust it. We grow it. So I said to God, I was like, wait a minute. We grow love. How do we grow love? And he said, through forgiveness and understanding. There's people where our love stopped. Something happened. We got mad. We got upset about something. But if you forgive and you understand why you did, then that's something to really, really grow love. Think about yourself when there's things you've done and you were really mad at yourself for doing it, and you say, well, nobody will think I'm okay. I've done this and this and this. Nobody even knows you did that until you tell them. But if you've forgiven yourself, if you have understanding of yourself, then you can forgive and understand others. And I'm not talking forgiveness in a way of judgment. Oh, well, I can forgive this person or not. But forgiveness in the sense of compassion that, hey, I'm only a human being. Yes, I did these things. It may not have been my best choice, but at the time it was. For what I knew it was, and now I know better, so now I have to make different choices. And the other one, how we thrive in love, and this just happened to me yesterday. I had this example standing in front of my face, and I had to say something. But there was a woman I saw yesterday, and I don't see her very much. And she came from another country, and she speaks two languages. English is her second language. And she just graduated with an English degree and a degree to begin pharmacy school and all these different things that she got 3 degrees in one graduation, which was the first time in the school's history. And she was so excited about it, and she's telling me about it, and I'm so happy for her. I felt so proud of her. And she has a daughter. She was a single mom. She just got married. So a lot of this stuff is going on around her. And everything was great. But then she started saying, and I told so-and-so to do it, but they didn't. And they went to the same school I went to, but they went after me, and they didn't want me to know they went. And, you know, this lady, she's always causing trouble. And the minute she started talking about that stuff, I felt like somebody just took my heart, pulled it out, and just literally threw it on the floor. The energy just left the room. There wasn't a good energy to be found. And she continued and continued and continued on that track. Once she did that, I had to say something because it was such a dichotomy of energy. It was like up here, then down there. And I said, you know what? I said, your life is not responsible for that person's life. You can't decide for them, but it's not good for you to talk about them or anybody like that ever again. She just looked at me like, that's huge. And I'm like, what do you mean huge? Like, what's so bad about what I just said? Like, well, it's impossible to not talk about people. I said, no, it's not impossible to not talk about people. You just have to not say it. Keep your strength. Your strength will be in your silence. If you see something, just remind yourself that that's none of your business. And it's not your business to judge them and then tell everybody else about them, because really, you're the one causing the trouble by talking about it like that to someone like me. I'm the worst person to tell something like that to, because I'll help that other person. I don't want to hurt them. And she said, well, I don't want to hurt them either. And I said, then think about what just happened. I was really happy for you, and now I'm feeling like you want to hurt somebody because of your success. And that now you feel you've earned the right to say that, because you feel like, well, I've got this degree. Now I can put out what I want. I don't want that person to live in this area anymore, and I want them to tell her to leave because she's renting. That's not okay. I don't care what she does, what you think she does, how bad you think she is. She doesn't think of herself that way, nor does she want to. I said, but your silence will be your strength, and in your silence, you will get to see that. You will get to see that. And then she thanked me, but she was puzzled that I would say that and not have been happy for her graduation. And I said, I'm ecstatic for graduation. But this part, I'm glad you came to me, that somebody got to tell you this at this point in your life when you're at this age. Because the truth is, this is hurting you more than it'll hurt anybody you ever talk about, to talk about anyone like that. I told her, don't give your energy away. Don't just throw this positive, good feelings you have away by destroying yourself to talk about someone else. And you guys, tomorrow we'll do a part 2. I'm running out of time. We're only on number 8, but the one. I will see you tomorrow. I love you so very much. Have a great Monday. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to today's Daily Dose of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show. To learn more, visit www.nadiakhalil.com.